Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph at the very top of the Amud, beginning our study of the 10th Perek, Hazroa V'Halachayayim. This Perek deals with a particular matana, a gift that we are to give to the Kohanim from any animal that we slaughter. We'll see if it's any animal. And it includes the zroa, which is the foreleg, the lachayim, which is the cheeks or the jaws, and the keva, which is the stomach. Okay? We will see how this matana is similar to or different from other matanot when we get to the beginning of the final perek, and we compare zroa lachayim and reshit hagez, along with the mitzvah of kisui adam, gidon hasheh, otovat beno, that we already covered earlier in the masachet, and contrast them all with each other and with Shiluah Hakein. Hazra v'chaim ha-keva, nohagin ba'aretz uv'chutz al-aretz. They apply universally. B'fnei v'ayit, shalom b'fnei v'ayit. Whether or not the Beit HaMikdash is standing. B'chulin avalu v'mikdashin. They only apply to chulin, not to kodashim. Shahayah bedin, really, it should have applied to kodashim. Ma'im ha-chulin she'inam chayavim b'chazei v'ashok. The gift of the chazei, the thorax, and the back leg, the shok, which come from shlamim. So, chulin, which do not have that gift, chayavim matanot, you still have to give zroah chayim kiva, kodshim shachayim chazev ashok, and din shachayim matanot. Certainly, kodshim which have chazev ashok certainly should also have these lesser gifts. Tamadom, matanot, tamli, awono kohen, vanam, lechok olam. In pasuk number one on the page, which is about chazev ashok, God says, I've given these to Aharon, implying, ein lo elama shamur banyan. All he gets from the shlamim are these and no others. Now, second Mishnah is, kol ha-kodashim shakadam mum kavua like deshan v'ifdu. Let's say you have a korban, and it had a full permanent mum before you were makdishit, which means the hekdesh really never took. And then you redeemed them because of the debt to hekdesh. Chayavin bivchora uv'matanot. If it's a female and she gives birth, the bachor is kadosh. If you slaughter this animal, you have to give matanot, zroah chayim keva. Yotzin lechulin ligazezu le'aved. And you can shear them, you can work with them, which we'll see the contrast with the mum afterwards. Vladan v'chalavan mutar lachar pidyonan. You could have their children, you could use their children, or their offspring, or their milk after they're redeemed. V'ashachtan machutz patur. If you slaughter them outside of the mikdash, you're patur because it's totally chulin. V'enosin tumuran. If you try to do a tumuran, say, this is like that, you've done nothing. V'im metu yipadu. And if they died, you could still redeem them and use them for whatever. Chutz mena b'chor mena maser. The only two that don't fit this are b'chor mena maser that have inherent kedusha, and they just have a din of b'chor balmum or maser b'ima balmum, which are eaten either by the kohen or by the owner, respectively, b'muman. Now, kol shekadam ekdeshan muman, on the other hand, if you were makdishit before the mum, ho mum over kodam ekdeshan, alachar mikan olad lahamum kavua, or let's say it had a mum over, a temporary mum, before you were makdishit, you're makdishit, and then it got a real mum, a permanent mum, v'niftu, and we'll deal a lot more with mumim very soon when we get to b'chorot, and then they're redeemed, then turim na b'choram na matanot. If this is a female and she gives birth, that's not a b'chor. Meaning there's no din of b'chor. And, because it's hektish. And you do not give matanot. As we already said, muktashim are exempted from matanot. On the other hand, when you have a kodshim izbeach that is becomes a balmum and is redeemed, you may not shear it or work with it. Uvladan v'chalavan asur lachar pidyonam. You may not use their offspring. The offspring is kodshim, and the offspring actually cannot do anything. And its milk is also asur lachar pidyonam. V'achshochtan b'chutz chayav. Now we'll see that that's a particular detail, because the general rule of shchitat chutz is anything that could have gone on the mizbeach inside, you're chayav for outside. And therefore, the only kind of baal mum we could be talking about is, if you recall back in Zvachim, according to Rabbi Akiva, a certain kind of very faint baal mum, like Nim Sfatayim, or Dukin Shema'ayin, if it goes up on the Mizbeach inadvertently inside, it's left up there. And this is in the Sugya of Imalu Lo Yerdu. So that would be the kind of thing. If you shechted it outside, then you'd be chayav. V'osin timura. If you say zeh kazeh, it does attach. V'metu yikavru. And if they die, or when they die, you need to bury them, and you may not just dispose of them and let the dogs get to them. Okay, that's the two mishnayot. Now, tam adachad v'chad v'chanotam, meaning the reason that muktashim are exempted is because the Torah says otam, as we saw in the Mishnah. Halavachev mena kodshim chayavim matanot. If it weren't for that word otam, I would have thought that kodshim require matanot, but I could challenge that. Malachulin shekin chayvin bivchorat. After all, chulin are more severe than kodshim, and as our kal v'chomer was kodshim of chaz v'shok, and chulin don't. So certainly chulin have matanot, kodshim should. So we could challenge that by saying, but chulin have b'chorah. If you have a regular animal that gives birth to its firstborn, that goes b'chorah. But if it's kodshim, that's not a b'chorah, as we saw in the Mishnah. So the answer is teitim mischarim. You could prove it by chulin zecharim. Chulin zecharim can't have b'chorah because they can't give birth. And so therefore they are fully more lenient, more less severe than kodshim, yet they're matanot. So malus chem shekin chayv in reshit hageiz. But that's not true, as we'll see in the next parak, is that reshit hageiz, the first shearings, go to the kohen only from chulin, and that could be a male too. So the answer is mitei hashim, but shearing only comes from sheep, not from goats, as we'll see in the Mishnah there. So malutei hashim shekin nechassim ladir litaser. But on the other hand, even goats have a chumra over kodshim. You put them into the pen to count out, so you get number 10 for maaser behema. That's not true about kodshim. The answer is miskinim, something that's older than a year old, which has already done it. So malus kinim shekin nechassu ladir litaser. But in their history, they did go into the pen to be counted, unlike kodshim. So the answer is minakuach viatom. If you buy an animal, let's say right after it's born, it does not go into the pen. It's only animals that are born in your flock. Or if its mother is dead, it doesn't go in. Special halachot of maser behema. So malakoch v'yatom shekin nechassim minan ladir litaser. However, there are similar kinds, like other sheep, do have maser behema. So b'minan kamar, the minute you're willing to play that card, then kodshim nami minan nechassim ladir litaser. Kodshim also. Their kodshim are sheep or oxen or goats, and they all have their kind going into the dir litaser, the ones that aren't kodshim, just like the ones that aren't old or the ones that aren't yatom. And so therefore, we still have the kal v'chomer to point out that if chulin, which in no way are absolutely more severe than kodashim, have matanot, kodashim should have matanot if it were not for the word otam. So therefore, now we could turn it around and say, "Hey, chulin chayavin b'chazev ashok mikal v'chomer." Now chulin should need a chazev ashok, the special matanot mishlamim. Now we've got a kal v'chomer. Turn it inside out, which is umah kodshim shein chayavin matanot chayavin b'chazev ashok. Kodshim we've now established you don't give matanot, and yet they have chazev ashok. Chulin shechayavin matanot din shechayavin b'chazev ashok. Simply turned it inside out. The answer is amakra b'zei mishpat hakohanim. The one pasuk about the matanot, which is in Parshat Shoftim, says Zeh Yemishpat HaKohanim. This is what the Kohanim get. Zeh in Midiachrini Lo. This is all they get. So you have Otam that says only Chazev Ashok for Shlamim. You have Zeh that says only Zeral Chaim Keva for Chulin. Ela Tamad HaChatav Rachmana Zeh. Now let's turn this around again and say it's only because the Torah said Zeh and limited gifts from Chulin to these three and not Chazev Ashok. Hamachav Meina Chulin Chayavim B'Chazev Ashok. Now I would have made a kal v'chomer backwards and said, if kodshim that don't have matanot have chazav ashok, chulin, which have matanot, certainly have chazav ashok. If it weren't for my word zeh, I would have accepted that. Abay tnufa. How could I do that? After all, chazav ashok need to be lifted up and waved in front of Hashem. So, hey, chalinufina, where would you do it? E abroi, if you do it outside of the azara, lifnei Hashem k'tiv, so you're supposed to do it in front of God. E agvoi, if you do it inside, kama ayo chulin mazara. Then you bring chulin into the azara. We had a similar issue in Zvachim, with an issue with Rebbe. We had the same problem. So hilkach lo efshar. So therefore, if it weren't for the word zeh, then you still could not have had chazav ashok for chulin. Not because you would not have extrapolated, but because there would not be practical way to do it. So if that's the case, then the word zeh becomes superfluous. Ela zeh lamali. What's zeh cutting out? The answer is a Rav Chista. Rav Chista, Hamazik, Matanot, Keuna, O She'achlan, Patur, Min L'Shalem. Rav Chista says something that's going to set us off on a beautiful discussion, which is, the word Zeh means this is what you give. You give this, and not that you're obligated in the value. You have to give these particular Matanot. Which means that if you ate them, or they got destroyed, or something happened to them, you are not liable to go find the value and give them to the coin, or get the same from another animal. You're off the hook, because of Zeh. So Zeh, it gives, teaches us that lesson. Now, let's take a look at Gufar Rav Chista Mazik Matanot She'achlan Patur Min L'Shalem. My Tama. What's the reason? Well, we just saw Yibayitem Nechtiv Zeh. That's one reason. It says Zeh. Yibayitem Mishum Dehavi Demamon She'in Lo Tovim. It's very simple. There's no particular claimant. How could you be responsible when there's no particular claimant of this money, which is a particular coin? So, Meitavei, watch this challenge. V'zeh Yimishpat HaKohanim. The Matanot are called Mishpat. Melamed Shabbatanot Din. This teaches you that they are Din. What does that mean? L'mai Hilchata. So we think Lav Lotzian B'dayanin. Doesn't it mean that the Kohen can come and claim it and have the Beit Din seize it from the Yisrael? Lo, L'chokan B'dayanim. It just means that the Yisrael should give it to the court, and the court divides up which Kohanim get it. Uchrav Shmuel Bar Nachmanim, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmanim, Rabbi Yonatan, Minayin She'ein Notnin Matana L'Kohen Am Haaretz. How do we know that we don't give Matnot Kuna to a Kohen who is an Am Haaretz, who is not careful about Tumah V'Tahara, not careful about Asorot, etc.? Shenemar in Divrei Amim, Vayomer La'am Li'Yoshvei Yerushalayim, this is Yoshiyahu Latet Manat LaKohanim V'Levim L'man Yechazku B'Torat Adonai. He tells the people in Yerushalayim to give gifts to the Kohanim and Levim so that they should strengthen Torat Hashem. And the interpretation, which is fairly straightforward here, is Kol HaMachzik B'Torat Hashem Yishto Manat. Only people who themselves are strong in Torat Hashem have a portion. Shenu Machzik B'Torat Hashem Ein Lo Manat. And therefore, in Amaret, should I get it? Therefore, we know that the Dayanim have to give it out. So that's what the Deen is. Not the Deen is that you could seize it, but rather that it's divided up by them and not just given any coin you want. All right, let's still test out Rav Chista. Tosh Rav Yudra Mater Omer Mishpat. Again, this word Mishpat in our Pasuk. Mumet Shamatano Deen. Yachol Afilo Chazev Ashok Deen. I might think that this even applies to Chazev Ashok. Talmud Lomar Zeh. Zeh meaning this is the only one that's Mishpat. So Lamai, what's he talking about? Ilem Lachokol B'Dayanim, the answer we just gave, which is it's divided up by Dayanim. Ato Chazev Ashok La B'Dayanim Kimi Palgi. But you don't divide up Chazev Ashok with Dayanim? We just said you have to divide up all Matnot Kuna with Dayanim. And certainly, if Matanot, which are Chulin, you need Dayanim for, certainly Chazev Ashok, which are Kodshim, you need Dayanim for. Alav Lotzi B'Dayanim. So it must be that at least this particular comment about Mohamed Shem Din means that it is going to be seized by the Beit Din, which is against Rav Chista. So the answer is Hachamayaskin and Da'atu Liyadei. We're talking about a case where the Matanot already came to the Kohen, and then somehow they were taken away from him, and now he's claiming them back, which solves both problems, because now it's Mamon Shieshto Tovim, because of a particular Kohen. So Milo Membro, why would you think he couldn't seize it? Da'atu Liyadei V'tiv Laya. The answer is because he got the whole animal. For instance, he was asked to watch the animal, and the animal had not yet been slaughtered, or the whole meat was there but had not yet been divided up. And so we're referring it to sort of as Tevel. The Kasavra Haitana, the author of that writer, thinks, Matanot Shalohu Ramu Kamisha Ramu Damyan. Meaning that the gifts that need to be separated from this animal, and we say this about Truma in some cases, it's as if they were already separated, which means it's as if he already explicitly and clearly got the Zoral Chai Mekevai, and then it got taken away from him. So that's why he's able to go and seize it, Bid Dayanim. Okay, Toshma, let's still test Rav Chista. Balabait Shehover, Mekom Lomakom, this is a Mishnah in Peah. So after detailing in Masachet Peah all the different matnot aniyim, Peah, then Liket, Leket, then Shikcha, then Maser Ani, Peret, and Ololot, etc., the Mishnah towards the end in the 8th Perek says that if a regular person who's got more than 200 zuz, and he's not an ani, but he's traveling, and now he suddenly had need, he was gone longer than he thought, he lost his money for whatever reason, he now needs that in order to eat. Notel, he can take it. He can join the anim and collect. When he gets home, he should then pay evidently to the anim, or else he comes back and pays. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we're going to see the rest of this. Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista's answer to that is midat chasidut shanukan. In other words, the reason it's a challenge to Rav Chista is because it states that matanot to a group, to a class, are actionable and they can claim it. He said the Kohanim cannot claim the Matnot Kuna, but here evidently the Anim have a claim against this guy, and they can claim it back. So Rav Chista says, no, it's Midat Chasidut, meaning that it would be a nice thing if you'd pay it back, but you're not obligated. Now, Amar Rava, so Rava's son-in-law turns to him and says, Tana Tani Yishalem Be'atamat Midat Chasidut Shanukam. The Brishta says Yishalem, which means you have to pay. And you're calling it Midat Chasidut? V'yod Midat Rav Eliezer Leikum V'leituv. Plus, why are you challenging from Rabbi Eliezer? Look at the rest of the Mishnah. Let me say, what is the rest of the Mishnah? Chamrim ani ayabo tasha. This is the real question. Why do Chachamim say he is not obligated to pay back the matnot aniim? Because when he was there, he was an ani. During that moment, he was without money. And therefore, he was classified as someone who's allowed to take it. Tama de ani. The only reason that the Chachamim say he's exempt is because he was an ani. Ha'ashir, but if he wasn't an ani, then Mishalem, he has to pay. Why shouldn't he be classified, according to you, father-in-law, Rav Chista, like somebody who destroys matnot kahuna or eats them up. So Rav Chisda's answer is midat chasidut shanukan. That's where he said it. It's midat chasidut, meaning that since you were an ani at the time, you're totally off the hook. But even if you were an ashir, you would only have to pay as midat chasidut. All right? So we still have not dealt with Rav Chisda one way or the other and either supported him or rejected him. Toshma, minayim b'balabayit shalchal perotav tvalin. If you have a balabayit who eats tevel, doesn't separate truma to masvot, v'chelevi shalchal masvotav tvalin, or a levi got his maser, didn't separate truma to maser, and ate it that way. Minayim shpatum era tashlumin. How do we know that they're not obligated to pay? He didn't eat truma, he ate tevel. Talmud Lomar, therefore it says, v'loi chalua kodshem in Yisrael, asher yor eit asher arimu. That they should not defile Kodesh Bnei Yisrael, that which they lift up or they separate, meaning it's only yours after you, the Kohanim, it's only yours after they've separated it, which means if you got it as Tevel, then it wasn't yours yet. What's the implication? Meaning that if after he separated Trumot, then he eats it, he does have to pay, and indeed that's the halachat, plus Chomesh. So why is he obligated? After all, this should be the same thing as eating matnot kahuna. So the answer is again, talk about the same case we had earlier, where the Kohen already got the whole pile of grain, and then it was taken away from him before the trumot were separated, and then the balabayit ate it all up. And he gave it to the Kohen to watch, or for whatever reason. And again, he holds the position that when the Kohen got it, is as if it was separated, and therefore, it's as if he already got the truma, and therefore he has a claim on it, but otherwise he wouldn't. That's in defending Rav Chisda. Toshma, let's keep going. Let's say the king of the court came, and they seized his granary and what was in it. If it's because you actually owed money to the government, so chayav laser, you have to still separate masrot from something else and pay it to the Kohanim and Levim. Imban parut, but if it was just an act of indiscriminatory theft or eminent domain, then patur min laser, you're off the hook. So why should they have a claim on you? Why should the Kohanim have a claim on you when you lost all the grain to the king just because you had a chov? The answer is shaniatam to kamishdar shilei, because that's a little different, because you actually gained from it. This stuff was yours, and you had a debt that you had to pay to the king, and as a result of him seizing your stuff, you got off the debt, and you paid that debt off with truma. So therefore you owe it. Okay, toshma. Amarlo, we're going to have this later in Mishnah later on in this parak. Mechor li b'nei me'ah shel para. If you go up to somebody and say, sell me the kishkas of that para, which includes the keva, matanokunan, includes the stomach. Notnan the kohen, ve'inomanakeloman adamim. You have to give the matanot to the kohen, and you cannot then go to the seller and say, I'm not paying you the full amount, because part of it was matnot kuhuna. But if you said, give me 5 pounds worth, and include matnot kuhuna, notnan the kohen, umanakeloman adamim. You can go back to the seller and say, I'm not going to pay you for 5 pounds, because one of those pounds I had to give to the kohen, and you should have given to the kohen. Now, Amai, the Havikim Mazik Manot Kuno Shachlan. Why isn't this, according to Rav Chisda, a case of as if you ate Matnot Kuhuna, and therefore the coin should have no claim on you? The answer Shani Hatam Ditanu Beinayu. There, the Matanot were already separated and they were already physically there. They weren't destroyed. They were there. You have them in your hand. That's why you can knock off the price from the fellow or not, but there's a claim here. Okay, Toshma, Tish'a Nichsei Kohen. There's 9 things that are called Nichsei Kohen. Kohen's property. Truma, Truman Maser, Chalav, we know what those are, Reshit Ageiz, we'll see in the next parak, the Shearing, Matanot, that's our parak, Dmai, which means Trumat Maser Dmai, because remember the Ameha Aretz were careful to separate Truma Gedola. Trumat Maser was the problem. Habikurim, Karen and Chomesh. Karen and Chomesh is payments for Truma, which is the main principal payment and the extra fifth. Now, Lamai, why are we calling it Matnot Nichsei Kohen? Lav Lo Tzian B'dayanim, isn't it because they can claim it in court? Lo, it's for something else. The Chanan is, we have the Mishnah at the end of Bikurim. Lamar Nichsei Kohen, why did they call it Nichsei Kohen? Bikurim is the focus there. Shekoneh ban avadim karkaot, you can use it by slaves, you can buy land, by matmeya, you can buy a donkey, v'achov not lan b'chovo, and if b'achov can come and seize them to pay back a debt, v'shavik tubata, if he divorced his wife, she can seize it for that. Sefer Torah can be bought with it. Alright? Which means that they're called Nichsei Kohen not to give him rights in court, but to say that he has rights over this property, and by the way, his creditors also have rights to it. Okay, now a story. Ahulei va'a. There was a Levi. Tahave chataf matanta. He used to chap matnot kahuna, even though he was a Levi. Atu amrulei the Rav. They came and told Rav. Amrulehu. So Rav said, lo mistaya lo shaklina mine. It's not enough that we don't take matnot kahuna from him. Elamichtaf nami chatif, but he is so chutzpahdik, he's going out and grabbing matnot kahuna. So the real question is, why did Rav rule that this Levi cannot be asked to give matnot kahuna, or cannot be forced to give matnot kahuna? Because the essential problem is that there are pasuk. Look at pasuk 2 on the page. It says me'et zovchei hazevach, me'et ha'am, meaning the people. Are levim part of the people or not? And this is a discussion that also has to do with kapara and yom kippur. Machloka tanaim, are the levim included in the kapara of the ser mishtaleach or of the par kohen? Which group are they associated with? And so here's the question. If the Levim are called Am Mishkol Amim Mishkol Vinayu, we should seize it from him. If the Levim are not called an Am Rachmana Patrun, and then the Torah exempted him, why are you making a big deal about it? The answer in the Safi Rav, he wasn't sure if they should be called an Am or not, and therefore he said that they should be giving it on their own, but we can't seize it from them. I'm sorry, we're giving him something of a break by not seizing it from him, but he certainly does not have the right himself to go and seize it from others. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Meantime, we should have a wonderful day.